Melissa Campanelli, Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration, and welcome to the 2014 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. If you're just joining us, I'm pleased to welcome you to our 2:25 session. 15 tips in 30 minutes, building a no-fail customer acquisition program. So if you're like most retailers, acquiring more customers is at the top of your to-do list. However, due to the cost and its complexity, the task frequently gets pushed aside. Acquiring new customers, however, can be easier than you might think. In fact, you're probably missing valuable opportunities right now to acquire new email subscribers, social advocates, and loyal customers. And as you know, each missed opportunity is one less conversation and one less purchase. Today's lively session with John Lawson, the CEO of Colder Ice Media, as well as the author of Kick-Ass Social Commerce for Epreneurs, is going to be a great session. He's going to run through 15 ways to acquire new customers in the 30-minute allotted time, and he'll be discussing tactics such as digital engagement in-store, customers asking for customers' email addresses, sending in-store receipts to customers, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to try to take some time at the end for questions, but you know we do have a lot of stuff to cover. So if that is the case, we will make sure to get back to you with your questions at the end. Anyway, before we get started, let me review some technical pointers. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions later on, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the features on this console. And check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn about the console you're viewing on today. Finally, if you'd like to view the session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show, and we'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning on Monday, July 21st. Watch your email for more details. With that, I'm very excited to introduce a great speaker, great entrepreneur, John Lawson. So take it away.
Hey, thank you so much. Thanks, guys, for coming and hanging out with us for the next 30 minutes. I only got 30 minutes, so I'm going to go real quick, but we're going to cover a lot of stuff. So here we go. Thanks, Melissa. Okay. Why did you start a business? Why did you start your business? Now, for many of us, there's a lot of reasons. To increase our wealth, we needed more time, just to be your own boss, wanted to take a lot of vacation. You know, there's a lot of reasons for us to desire to be our own boss or create our own businesses or run our own company. However, the reality of it is, what is that current reality? Some of us are overworked, overstressed, overdrawn. Now, I hope nobody's overdrawn at your account. You need to go check that right now. You don't need to be logged on here. You need to log into your bank account. Right? But, or, you know, you're missing your family, and you want to have more time to be with your family. Or, hey, you're just over it. I'm just done with it. Part of the problem is that some of us are dealing with a lot of chaos in our system. A lot of our systems inside of our businesses are not talking to each other. And what's happening is this disjointed system is allowing a lot of our opportunities to fall through the cracks. We're missing work. We're missing opportunities for new customers. We're missing opportunities for capturing leads. And, of course, ultimately, we're missing opportunity to make more money and to be more successful in our businesses. So what's the answer? Well, welcome to lifestyle marketing, which is all about attracting, selling, and wowing the customers. So we're going to break it on down, and we're just going to bring it out, pull it back a little bit, go up on the, you know, 50,000 foot level, and take a look at each one of these three areas of focus. So right now, let's start with attracting customers and attracting leads. Some of the things that you must do, so five things you just have to do, is you have to know who your target customer is. You got to be speaking to the right target customer. You got to attract their interest, capture that audience, nurture that prospect, and ultimately increase the online presence that you are presenting to those prospects? How do we know our target customer? I mean, look at this. The thing is, I used to love this commercial. It was one of the greatest commercials Apple ever put out. And the deal was, you have two different customer segments here. Both of them are geeks. Both of them actually like computers. But there is a different way to speak to the geek on the left versus the geek on the right. And that is one of the things you have to understand who your customer really is. I talk to people all the time, and I talk with businesses all the time, and I ask them, who is your customer? And they're like, everybody. Really? Really? That's a problem. Because you're never going to be able to speak to everybody. If you figure out who that customer is and you're able to speak that language, you will be able to capture that customer. But if you're trying to speak to everybody, you'll have a problem trying to attract the people that you're looking for. We're talking about attract. How do we do this? What are the tools for attracting interest? Of course, we have our websites, which, you know, if somebody's on our website, they're interested in our product, at least enough for the 3 seconds that they might be there to look at it before they hit the back button. So we've got some interest. Word of mouth, of course, one of the greatest tools is to get other people talking about you. And what great tool for that? Social media, right? But for me, ultimately, if I can get somebody into my email, that's like the golden arches. Yeah, I know that's a McDonald's reference. But still, I mean, it is the chalice. It is what you really desire, is to start getting engaged with them via their email. Here's the thing, guys. Once you get people engaged, you want to take an opportunity to educate that customer or that consumer or that prospect. One of the things I think a lot of us miss is an opportunity to be the expert. Look, I look at websites all the time, and there's something missing. And let me just give you an example. If you walk into, and I don't know if this happens anymore because I don't buy a lot of perfume, but if you walk into, you know, Macy's, New York City, to the perfume section, there's going to be an expert on perfume standing there with the latest fragrance that will allow you to take a sample. She'll be standing there, and she'll spray it on you, and then she'll tell you about the bouquet and the fragrances that went into that. What is she? She is the expert right there, and she's there to answer questions that captures the interest of the traffic that walks by. How do we duplicate that on the Internet? How do we duplicate that in our stores? Very simply, you have to give people an opportunity to purchase product that is of interest based on the fact that it might be brand new, maybe the way it's being used, maybe some of the new updates that have been done to the product. When you put expert information out to people, it gets them engaged and interested. So don't miss an opportunity for you to be the expert to bring people through your stores, literally, online, so that they know what to shop for. If you've got a store and it's full of thousands of products, a lot of customers are just confused. They don't even know where to go. Where do I go to get a product that I'm looking for during the holiday season for a gift? Where are the gifts? Where are the best gifts? Where are the gifts for under $20? Where's the ones for over $20? Where's the best jewelry to purchase for a gift? You know, these kind of areas are opportunities for you to be an expert. Okay, I'm going to move on. Where can you do that? Here's some examples. Blogging, of course, social media, as we mentioned already, doing some promos, white papers, and contests. So don't forget those opportunities to attract more customers by using these other methods to get people interested in your product. Now, once you've got them, then you want to capture their interest. Now, I got this little, you know, cartoon here about look at me. Really, the key thing is you don't want to be this guy. It's not about you. The interest has to be in them, all right? So it's not about you. It's not about, oh, look at the great products we have. It's about how is this going to benefit me as a customer of your space. If you come from everything that you write without that me feature, it will help you, all right? Talk about them. Once you have their attention, how do you keep their attention? What you have to do is you have to nurture those prospects, because every time somebody lands on your website, it doesn't mean that they're ready to purchase right at that point. They could be just looking for information for a product. They could be looking to purchase later in the year, or you just don't know. So when there is a prospect out there, you want to use the opportunity to nurture them. And here are some ways to do that. You connect with them. You inform them. You entertain them. And I don't know if enough people think about the entertainment factor. You know, if I can entertain you, I can keep your attention. I can capture your attention. You don't have to be a comedian to entertain people. But there are ways for you to do that that will really capture their attention, and we'll show you some of that. And of course, what you do is all the things that you put out there, make sure it's easy to share with other people, especially if you're doing things in social. Make sure it's easy to share, because that's going to give you the word of mouth. So here's some best practices. Segment your list for targeted messaging. And what I mean is, let's say I'm a health club, business. Well, the deal is, the way I will talk to a female prospect versus a male prospect in a health club situation is totally different. So if you segment your list based on different targeted segments, then you can have different messaging for your prospects, and that's really important. Creating and sending triggered emails, being able to do automation emails at different points of the nurturing process is very important. Creating authentic content, promote relevant content. Of course, again, if I'm one segment, I might not even be interested in some of the other things that you're trying to push out there. That's one of the reasons we talk about not thinking that I'm selling to everybody. Even if I'm selling to everybody, there are segments that we want to get out there in that, quote, everybody, so we can have targeted messaging that is relevant and the content that is relevant. Just, again, going back to the picture of the two geeks, the Mac and the PC, the way they had that put out there, we understand that content for the younger, cooler, hipper was not going to be the same content that you might need for the person that is really interested in a lot of the details and the inner workings of things. So, all right? And, of course, personalized emails, personalized landing pages, really fantastic stuff, and using analytics and lead scoring to see how far somebody might be in the funnel and how close they are to making that purchase, and being able to nurture that all the way through to the cash register is very important. Okay, what about the cost of not nurturing? So let's say you've got an audience of 10,000. 10,000 people are interested leads. However, 100 of those 10,000 actually are responders, and 10 of those become customers. Cool. Well, what's the benefit of nurturing that? Well, out of those 100 respondents, 10 do become customers, but probably 5 of those are almost there at the point where they could become customers. And if you nurtured those 5, you could have an increase of 50% of your return on that investment in that audience. And that's the benefit that you can receive from nurturing. But, of course, remember, just because you've captured that lead doesn't mean you have already earned the right to start selling. And that is one of the reasons why I am expressing the desire for you to think about how you can educate and nurture that person or that prospect into something that you or someone that you could get into that sales funnel. Now, the key thing is, I mean, we've got all of these email programs today where we can set up automated email. But it's not about automatic responders having like 50 steps to it. You know, here we go to here, here we go to here, and we're just hammering home the messaging of buy, 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 and not really able to hammer home maybe the message of nurture. What if I've actually clicked on one of the links of interest on that website and then I left the page? Well, the messaging should be able to change in response to that action that was taken by the nurturer or the nurturee. You're the nurturer, all right? So autoresponders are great, but sometimes it pushes people in the funnel in the wrong way with the wrong type of messaging. It's really about being able to establish that trust, education, and ultimately converting these customers with, like we said, targeted messaging, timely messaging, relevant messaging, personalized messaging to help build that relationship in order to convert those leads. So we've laid out the whys behind nurturing. 81% of sales happen after 5 or more contacts. Just think about that number. 81% of sales happen after 5 or more contacts. If you're not making multiple contacts with prospects, think about how many customers we are probably dropping off the side of the road. We're just going right past them because we haven't put together any kind of nurturing of those prospects. And 85% of the time, we will stop making contact after 1 or 2 contacts. So, yeah, we're making some contact, but we only do it once or twice. But if 81% of the sales happen after 5 or more, where should we be? How can we get to that point? That's some of the stuff that we're starting to think about, how to follow up. And this is just a graphic way of showing how we use some tools to nurture product and purchases of customers for like the birthday celebration. You know, I think we've sort of lost that. I remember, you know, years ago that was a huge thing. You know, when is your birthday? And it was the birthday club, and you would get all kind of stuff on your birthday. Now, today, the only thing I get on my birthday is a bunch of people in Facebook saying Happy B-Day. You know, I get it, but I'm not getting the same kind of things that I used to get before we had these tools where people would be a little bit more in tune with me as a customer. So go back to that because, you know, everything old is new again. All right, so let's move on because we're moving forward. Sell. This is our favorite part. Here's a 5 plus 2s because we all like to sell. Build a professional-looking website. If you don't have that, you've got to have that. Product images and descriptions, do it. You already know this. I'm sure it's been hammered home. We all know these things. But offer incentives. What are some incentives that you can offer for people to purchase today, right now, as opposed to waiting or even clicking back and checking that prices on Amazon versus eBay versus your website? What incentive can you get them to purchase now? And, of course, upsells and referrals. There are a lot of great tools today. Of course, we've got most of them inside of our website automatically given upsell. But what about referrals? What are offers that we can be doing to make for referrals for our customers? Great stuff. Here's a great site I like, and I think if you get a chance to go out and look, you know, but this Pure Fix Cycles, it's really clean, professional looking. It's got, you know, the big hero images. Every link that it's got has an image with it. It's getting into this new mobile feel that we have, and pictures are really big. That's why Instagram is like one of the hottest platforms out there. That's why Pinterest is so hot, because pictures are becoming really, really the thing that's driving a lot of commerce. So build a professional-looking site, of course. Have those images nice, large, multiple. These are, I mean, you know, Zappos, we're used to it. You know how they do. Offering those incentives, We're moving fast. We're moving fast. I know. I get it. What's the difference between a cross-sell and an upsell? This is cool, though. I mean, because a cross-sell is, look, if I'm getting the hamburger, why don't you buy the fries? Yeah, that's a cross-sell. But an upsell is, I got the hamburger and then fries. Hey, can I supersize that meal for you? That's the upsell. That's the difference between a cross-sell and an upsell. And five simple steps that can help make the difference. Be specific and offer a variety of options. Suggest the correct product. That's, again, about being the expert. Because when I talk to that lady at Macy's and I say, well, my girlfriend likes something that's really, you know, flowery smelling, she'll be able to say, well, these are our flowery odors. When I don't, but she's the expert that I can ask the questions, and she's going to suggest products that I should purchase, okay? Pick the right time to make that contact with the customer. Show them that you care, and don't be pushy. Don't be overly, you know, eager to sell. And get referrals, of course, because that is an area where I think we kind of dropped the ball a little bit in the e-commerce world, but word of mouth is so easy now with social media for somebody else to share their purchasing experience with their friends. And on average, 187 people, remember that, 187 people, that is the average number of friends or followers of a Facebook member. They have a reach of 187 possible other contacts. So ask for the referral when it's right. All right, let's talk about wowing the customers. Five things for that. The must-dos, deliver and satisfy. You got to deliver it on time. You got to satisfy the customers. Setting the right expectation, offering more, being passionate about your customers' needs, and don't be afraid to give. We're going to break those down. Delivering satisfaction. I want you to go and think about going from satisfied, past happy, past thrilled, and wowing the customer. Just think about the things that happen with Amazon. Amazon sells the same products as everybody else. However, when they tell me I'm going to get the product in 2 days and it shows up in 1 day, I am wowed. I'm so hooked. People don't really get it. But, I mean, that's one of the reasons why that platform has been so successful, is because they focus in on the wow. Focus in on the satisfaction and wowing the customer, and you're going to get a customer that comes back all the time. Set the right expectations. Make sure your communications are clear from the onset of the relationship. If it's going to take you 3 days before you put that thing in a box, then you should probably tell them it's going to take 3 days. Because what happens now is you're setting their expectation, and you can reset that expectation by doing the emails every time that there's a phase that is completed, you know? So make sure when you get that thing packed and you're ready to ship and you've got a tracking, when you send another email that says there's tracking information, that helps to clearly communicate and reset the expectations of delivery, all right? Deliver and exceed. Acknowledge the challenges and take ownership. Yes, I get it, man. The United States Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, they do lose packages. But if I'm buying from you, I don't care that they lost my package. All I care about is you, as the vendor, the people that took my money, did not get my package to me. That's all I care about. So don't do a lot of song and dance about pushing it off on those other places. Just take ownership of the responsibility and make it right and whole for them. And, of course, honesty and integrity are the key. And I think that works both ways, guys, you know, because I'm not one of the people that are going to tell you, you know, just the customer's always right. If they're not always right, you know. But as long as you are doing business with honesty and integrity, you will be able to sleep at night. And that's all. That's what we want, you know. You'll be able to make sure that your business is set up with these kind of principles in place, and then everything else will work out for itself. All right. So here's some wills. These are five things that you will understand. Your customer will become a brand advocate if you do all these things that we've just laid out. They will remain loyal to you. They will overlook those shortcomings. They will make sacrifices for you in as much as you ask them to. Hey, please, do you have any other people you know that might be interested in this? Would you please share this with your friends on Facebook, or would you please tweet this out? They will make those kind of sacrifices for you, and they will provide you with positive feedback when asked. Those are the keys. So here's the thing, guys. Don't be afraid to give to the customer, because there is a law of reciprocity. And the first thing in that law of reciprocity is it requires us to take some action. And once we take some action, they will give us in kind a response to that action. So when we take a good action and we're not afraid to give the customer the satisfaction they want, they will in turn give us their trust, their cooperation, their synergy with our brand and collaboration. It happens just that easy, but you can't be afraid to give. So what's the secret to doing all this? Automation. You can't do this. We're busy right now. Right now we're busy. We're taking time out of our busy days to be here, right? So a lot of the secret here is to get these kind of things automated. You want to get your process out of your brain, onto paper, and into a system. Once we get it into a system, that system now can be duplicated, and it can be run through without you and I having to touch it. So the first thing we need to do is get that brain dump of what we want in our business strategy for wowing our customers and bringing those customers back. That's the acquisition program we need to have. And then we need to find tools that will help us to attract those customers, capture the leads, nurture them, convert them into a sale, deliver it, upsell it, and get referrals. That is your 7 steps to lifestyle marketing. Life cycle marketing, lifestyle marketing, here it is in 7 steps. Taking the first step, what you have to do is make a commitment to life cycle marketing. Just make that commitment. Like I said, create your process, create your system, and then find the tools, the software to help you automate your lifestyle marketing system. I hope that makes sense. If not, here's my email address. Actually, I've got a free white paper for you on how to help you automate, just how to get this started, how to take the first steps. All you have to do is shoot me an email. That's the easiest way to get in contact with me, john@colderice.com, john@colderice.com. I hope you've gotten some good stuff out of it. Like you said, I got the book there, Kick-Ass Social Commerce for Entrepreneurs. Please go buy that book right now. Go, right now. It's like, I'll do it. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for great information. Looks like we only have a couple of minutes for questions. Does anybody have any? Oh, we got a question. We have one listener who was just a little bit confused about the terminology of lifestyle. She was thinking that isn't it life cycle? But I guess there is a difference
there. I did say it wrong. I caught myself.
Oh.
I didn't put it out there, but you are good. She was listening, and you're right. It's the life cycle.
I thought maybe lifestyle was your little twist on it or something.
Hey, you know what? It does become a lifestyle, because it will help you, you know, with your lifestyle if you pick up these customers we're dropping.
Right. All right. Well, I actually think that that's pretty much all we have time for in terms of questions. But we did have, you know, you did get through your 15 points in 30 minutes, and that's what we were hoping for. And I also wanted to make sure to give a shout out to our sponsor, DotMailer. I didn't mention them at the beginning, but they were kind enough to sponsor this event. So let's give them a shout out. And With that, I think I'm going to thank you, John, so much for your great presentation, for all your great information. And if anyone on the call is interested in discussing anything that they've heard during the presentation, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge to chat live with the other session attendees. And you can also visit the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And remember, if you miss anything at all, the entire virtual show will be archived, and the on-demand environment will be available for 3 months beginning Monday, July 21st. So with that, have a great evening, everybody. Thanks.